Today's daf is in Masechet Megillah, daf Chav Beit, and we were holding right on the sugya, of course, of Rosh Chodesh itself. What do we do about Kriyat HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh, which is what we just came from? So what exactly, says the Gemara, the Machlokas yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, as to whether if we cannot finish a parsha properly between three people, so we'll have to be Doilig, we'll have to be Posek. Shmuel said we split it into two because of the Gzera Mishuma Nechnasim, Gzera Mishuma Yotzim. And Rav says that we don't split a pasuk into two ever. And that's because Kol Psuka, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Pesek, we will not be Pesek either. And so yesterday, the last thing that we said, after we said the Gzera, we got up to the word meisve. So we were holding basically in the middle of the smaller lines. Meisve. So today the Gemara wants to bring a raya to the question of how to read on Rosh Chodesh. Parsha shel shisha psukim, korim ota b'shnayim, v'shel chamisha psukim, b'yachid. So if there's six psukim, you can have two people reading it. If you have five psukim, only one person should read. How about if the first person read three psukim? So then what should the second one do? Because now he only has two psukim to read. So he should read Asheni Kore Shnayim Miparasha Zu, and then he should go on to read one pasuk in the next parsha. Whereas others say, no, he can't read just one pasuk. He has to read a minimum of three psukim. Because if somebody will make the mistake of thinking that that's all that you have to read, if they see that the next guy reads further. So the question is over here, why is any of this necessary? According to Rav and Shmuel, im ita leman de'omra doleg nidlok, leman de'omra posek nifsok. Why can't we basically do what they said? Why should he run into the next one? He could always read one of the psukim from before. Now, the question over here is that akasha both on Rav and on Shmuel? Or is it only akasha of if you hold doleg? I mean, what would you do over here? Should we be posek? Can we be posek? How can we be posek if the guy already read the full pasuk? So that's the question. Is it possible to go back and read a half a pasuk according to Shmuel? So this is the issue. L'man di'omar posek, Rashi says, like a lemifrach, there's no kash according to him, because you can't be posek after the other guy wasn't posek. What, are you going to go back and read half a pasuk? We certainly don't do that. And therefore, we're only asking akasha according to Rav, who says doleg. However, others learn that the kasha is on both, and that there is no reason why, according to Shmuel, we wouldn't be posek by one person, even if the other person wasn't posek. Okay, you can understand as far as lekan and lekan, but in any event, why do we need an etza of going on a reading in the next parsha? We have a solution. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Why in the world is that better? Obviously, in this case, when we're talking about where you're stam reading the parsha, so go on to the next parsha. What do you care? If you're in the middle of an inyan, you're reading Dafka, the inyan of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, I understand you don't have an option to read further, but here we're talking about the normal laning, Sheni v'chamishi. So you've got the whole parsha to lay on. Go ahead and do the next parsha if necessary. There's no thing of reading a specific thing during the week. So over here, in this case, there's no reason why not. Shani Atam, Dav Shabachi. It's easy to do it this way, and there's no reason why not to. Om Rabbi Tanchum, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha ki Yesh Omrim. The halacha is like the Yesh Omrim, who say over here that you have to read three psukim into the next parsha. Now, this involves us in a very interesting discussion. So, Rabbi Tanchum quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that, look, this is not only a question of hatchala, that never start a parsha less than three psukim. In the same way that we don't begin the parsha, the same issue would be nogea not to leave over in a parsha pachot mishlosha psukim. So kashem shein matchilim b'parasha pachot mishlosha psukim, kach ein mishayirim b'parasha pachot mishlosha psukim. Says the Gemara, isn't that obvious? I mean, when we just had a machlokas, didn't we, about whether you should read one pasuk into the next parasha or three pasukim into the next parasha. So that means that if you're paskening like the Yesh Omrim, and you're telling me that, well, you should know, I want to tell you a chiddush, that not only did the Yesh Omrim say that you don't start a parsha less than three psukim, you don't end a parsha with less than three psukim. That's a little bit ridiculous to tell me, because everybody agreed that you don't leave a parsha with less than three psukim. That's what we started with, right? The Tanakhama said that if you have five psukim, you can only read it in one person, and you can't split it among two people. Why not? Because what are you supposed to, he starts talking about what happens if the first guy only reads three. Okay, so if the first guy only reads three, he said over there that you should not do that lechatchila, only if the guy had left it was the discussion. So that means everybody agrees we definitely don't leave three, less than three over. So if the Yesh Omrim say that we don't even allow you to read opening less than three, obviously they're going to agree you don't leave it three over, because even the Tanakhama agreed that. So what is he coming to tell me a chiddush over here, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi? Ask the Gemara Pshita. Starting a parsha with less than reading three psukim, the Tanakhama allows. And the Yesh Omrim, even that is machmiran. So if the shiur, leaving over less than three psukim, were over the Tanakhama is machmiran, so then obviously lo koshikein de machmiri Yesh Omrim. So of course the Yesh Omrim are going to be machmiran, no? Because we already see that it's more of a reason to be mekil on the kriya of the coming parsha. So why? What's the chiddush bichlal? No, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Because ma'o de tema, look, the problem that we have over here of why it is that you have to read the psukim, we're going to be machmir because people coming late is very common. So if they come in late and they see that you're reading from the second pasuk, then they may make the mistake of thinking that the first guy only read one pasuk. And that we know we don't want them to walk off with that misapprehension, right? Okay, but how likely is it that people will walk out in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah? That's much less likely. Once a person is there, it's a chutzpah to walk out in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So therefore, I would have thought that, look, the Yesh Omrim are worried about people walking in and making that mistake. But people walking out, and my thinking, therefore, oh gosh, the guy only left over two psukim, I guess that's all the other guy's going to read. No, people don't walk out in the middle. They're not going to make that mistake. But because of that, I would have thought, if Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi hadn't told me, that in that case, the Yesh Omrim would say, I don't worry about that. Lo shchichi demanchi sefer Torah v'nafki. People are going to leave a sefer Torah and walk out. Kamash malan, that they're even worried about the Yotzim, and not only about the Nichnasim. So then, wait a minute. So then what indeed is the Tanakhama thinking, right? I mean, the Tanakhama, they're ready to be mekel on the problem of the Nichnasim. So then Koshikain, they should be mekel on the Yotzim. I don't understand. So they have it inverted? Is that what you're saying? You just made it by saying this svara, why we need the chiddush on the Yesh Omrim, you've made it impossible to understand the Tanakhama. Because the Tanakhama is saying, look, I'm very worried about people walking out in the middle. And therefore, I can't leave less than three psukim because they're going to think that that's all that the next guy's going to learn. But I'm not worried about people walking in late. So since if they'll walk in late, they're going to make the mistake of thinking that the guy is reading only from the second circuit. I guess the first guy only read one pasuk. That I'm not worried about. That's backwards. So then how is it that you explain the Tanakhama? Ask the Gemara of a Tanakhama, Maishna Shiuri Delo. How come they said you can't leave less than three psukim? Because people will walk out and think that that's all the guy's going to lane, and the next guy is only going to lane the two psukim that remain, or the one psukim that remains, right? So that's because of yotzim. So then you should certainly make the gzera of atchule nami. We should worry about gzera mishum anichnosim, and they, people who just walk in now, are not going to know that the previous guy had lane psukim from the other parsha before. Answers the Gemara, because you're not taking into consideration another factor. The other factor is that the people who walk in can always turn to the guy next to them and say, excuse me, Rabid, the guy before only read one pasuk. And he'll say, no, he read from the psukim before in the previous parsha. But the guy who walks out can't turn to the guy next to him and say, excuse me, what's going on? So he'll walk off with the wrong impression. So because of that, there's this other issue that changes the equation. So the Tanakhama is ready to rely on people talking during davening. If he's coming in late already, why not talk, you know? But Mashiach came, the Yesh Omrim, they don't say that the guy's going to ask. And so because of that, obviously it's more likely that someone will walk in late than that someone will walk out early. Lovely. Sholach le Rabba b'rei the Rav of Yosef. How do we paskin? Hilchot Amai. Sholach le, so he sent him back a message. The halacha is with doleg and the emtsa'i doleg. It's the middle one that is doleg. Now, Rashi understands that the question over here is not talking about Rosh Chodesh, where what does it mean, the middle one? You have four people who are leaning. And he's talking about over here the Ma'amadot. And that this way, it works out that we have the parsha of five psukim that's read by two, and the last one that's read by one. So, what about those who learn that it is referring to the Rosh Chodesh? So how do we understand that? And the truth is that even if it's not, as you know, we talked about it yesterday, but since today is Rosh Chodesh, it's kedai to go over because it's fresh in our minds. Many of the poskim write that even if l'mais, it's a reference over here to the Ma'amadot, but the same minig makes sense to do on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, that became our minig, right? So the first Aliyah reads the three psukim, Vayedaber, and then Tzavas B'nei Yisrael, Ve'amarta Aleihem, and he stops at that. The second Aliyah, he's the one that starts again saying Ve'amarta Aleihem, and then he goes, Etakeves Echad, Ve'asiri Te'efa, Solat Le'mincha, and so on. Then the Shalishi is able to read Olat Tamid. He reads three psukim, closes the whole parsha, and he also reads Ubiyom HaShabbat until Rosh Chodeshem, and the Revi reads Rosh Chodeshem. That's the way almost everybody does. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, the Das of the Prichodash and the Das of the Bach is that it's better for the Shalishi to just finish the parsha. Why should he go on to read Uviyom HaShabbat? Let him stop before Biyom HaShabbat. Let the Revi read Biyom HaShabbat and then go through Uvrosh Chodeshem. Fine. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens, as far as that's concerned, it's better to do our minhag for various faras. Would that have to do with the reading, leaving a parsha over with only two psukim in the whole parsha? Now, there are others who learn, like Rashi is learning, we're talking about the Ma'amadot. However, and this is the famous Ramban, which the Gra talks about, the Ramban says, of course we're only asking about Ma'amadot, because why in the world should we worry about it on Rosh Chodesh at all? Why should we be doling on Rosh Chodesh? Why can't the Shalishi read the last two psukim together with Uvi Yom HaShabbat? So then he will read two psukim from Yom HaShabbat plus the last two psukim of the opening parsha, and then the Revi will read the entire Uvroshe Chodeshem. Now, the reason for this is, you'll say to Ramban, I don't understand. Obviously, he can't read two psukim because we don't just leave two psukim. What do you mean you're not doilig? You have to be doilig. No. Tainus the Ramban like this. because you still run into problems even with the dolek. Because if the people who walk into the shul late and they see that the sheni is starting to read pasuk gimel, which is the way we do it, so they're going to think that the rishon only read two psukim. So therefore, what are you gaining? You're anyway good. Either you're going to solve the yotzim or you're going to solve the nichnasim. So then don't do it. What's the point of doing it? Don't do any dliga, says Ramban. The whole thing is a mistake. We were never referring to Rosh Chodesh. We were only referring to the Ma'amadot. And therefore, there's no way to avoid doing something wrong. So then why should we be dilate? Just be kere normally. And that's how the Ramban understands it. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of discussion. Why indeed do we do it this way? I mean, you have to answer Ramban's Taina. The Rishonim talk about how to understand the Taina, the difference between the Nichnasim, the Yotzim, whatever. But it certainly is an amazing point. Because of the Gra takes this into consideration in his Taina, in which he says the Kohen reads three Psukim, the Levi reads five Psukim, and that completes the Parsha of the Tamid up to B'yom HaShabbat. Then the Shlishi can read the last three psukim together with the Yom HaShabbat, and that solves the entire problem of the Ramban. And then the Revi reads the Rosh Chodesh. Fine. So this is actually the other minhag. Now, Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, writes that even though the Ramban says all of this, in the end, the Ramban writes that we should never be nogeya in a minhag that comes from old times, if the minhag does not involve doing any issue, not doing anything wrong, right? So it's much more important not to do things differently because of a machlokas. What's the point of making a big machlokas? It's so important that you have to sit there and argue about it. And so because of that, the Gra apparently only saw the Ramban as it was brought in the Ran. And there, the Ran doesn't bring the last part of the Ramban, that it's really not worth making a fuss over this, and just to keep the minhag as it was. So anyway, as you can see, the sugya is far from clear about how it's coming out at the end, because there's no raya that this psak was nogeya Rosh Chodesh bichlal. So it's one of those things where the halacha remains up in the air, really. So we just do kimina again, or each place kimina go. Okay, continues the Gemara. Iboilu. We talked about the klal. So what was the klal? We went through the different stages. You've got a normal day. Normal day, we have the three kruim, and we went back. Well, who was that keneged? The Levim, Kohen, Levi Yisrael, Ter, Levim, Ksuvim. Okay, but that's a given. Now, if you've got some kind of added chashivas, so let's say you have a musaf, if you have a musaf, like today, so Rosh Chodesh, we have our musaf, doesn't mean tefillas musaf, idiots, it means carbon musaf. We've gotten so used to not bringing carbonis that we actually think it means a tefillas musaf. We'll talk about the tefillas musaf in a moment. But anyway, kriyas, we have an asiyah of a musaf, so that gives it a tremendous chashivas, and that's either Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, we're going to add an additional aliyah. If we also, besides the Musaf, have an Isser Melacha, so Yom Tov, then we'll add yet another one. If we have not only an Isser Melacha with a Lav, which is Yom Tov, but we even have a Chi of Karis, which is Yom Kippur, we'll add yet another one, which brings us now to six. If we not only have an Isser Karis like on Yom Kippur, but we have an Isser Skila like on Shabbos, then we'll add even another one. That's seven. Now, what's interesting is that we left out a very important kriya, and that is the kriya of the ta'aniyot. We're talking about the ta'anis tzibur over here. So how many would read on a ta'anis tzibur? Ask the Gemara Bello, ta'anit tzibur bekama. I understand that Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, we said over there we have a carbon musaf, is arba'ah. So then you'll say, okay, so then why should we add? We don't have a carbon musaf on a ta'anis. But in a sense, we have hosafa, and maybe a hosafa is the equivalent of carbon musaf, because we have a hosafa to the tefillah. Remember that we learned before, we were talking about the inyonim of the tainis, that the Rambam talks about the tefillah nosefet. So that anenu. Other Rishonim learned that we're talking about ne'ila, on the Tainas Tzibur, in which case it's a problem. How did Tisha B'Av get involved in this also, as we'll see later? So they say, you know, okay, wait a minute, give one din to the Tainas. But in any event, the parshas is we have this additional tefillah, and the additional tefillah should be something that is mechayev a hecker of some kind. So perhaps we even add it for the additional tefillah. Oh, Dilma, how can I make myself tefillah? So maybe we should one up it on a Tainas and read five. We read four, just like on Rosh Chodeshim. Says the Gemara, well, what do you mean? It says, Tashma, Rosh Chodeshim, u'b'chol shomayit korin arba'a. And it leaves out Tainas Tzibur. So obviously, we're left to the understanding that a Tainas Tzibur is like any other day. And you read three. Excuse me, I mean, you can say the opposite from the other part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, B'sheni u'b'chamishi u'b'shabas b'mincha korim shlosha. Mashma, then a Tainas Tzibur, you korin arba'a. So you can make the opposite deal. So obviously, the Mishnah is not coming to teach you what the din is of the Tainas Tzibur by leaving it out of the other cases. How do I know which way to be mendayik? So forget about the Mishnah. Do you have a raya or not? Well, I have a raya from a maisa. Because Rav, I know, once came to Bavel, and he comes in the Tainas Tzibur, and he gets an aliyah, and he reads from the Sefer Torah, and he starts with the regular opening bracha, and the Asher Baruch Harbonu, and so on, and then he was chosei. When he finished, he did not make a bracha, and then when everybody fell to say Tachanun, Nofukuleyama, they all fall on their face, which was the minhag then, and Rav did not. Okay, so forget about the last piece for a moment. Let's just talk about why Rav did not finish with a bracha. Now, Rav was not a Kohen, and Rav was not a Levi. So Rav was reading the third Aliyah, right, as a Yisrael. So then I don't understand, why didn't he make a bracha afterwards if he was the last one to read? We say that the last one to read always makes a bracha. So must be because there was going to be a fourth aliyah. Ha ha ha. So you see that there's a fourth aliyah. No. I mean, first of all, have you noticed that he also made a bracha before? So anyway, we're going to have to explain that. But the fact is that Rav actually read as a Kohen, even though he wasn't a Kohen. Because remember that the din is really the only reason that we give Kohanim the Rishon, even though there's an Adam Gadol in the Beit HaKnesset, is to avoid fighting. And as we know, we can see from Reb Barnea how Kohanim love to fight. So because of that, I better take a drink right now. They're always making you problem. Amcha kemerive kohen. We don't want to get into fights with Kohanim. So because of that, we were metaken to drink before, to say that the Kohen always gets the first aliyah. However, where it's not shayach to get into a fight, because you have somebody who is mamish, a muflap, and nobody would even think for a minute that the local Kohen is greater than Rav, Mela, he's greater than the Rav of the Shul, I understand. He's greater than the local Godel Ador, I understand. He's not greater than Rav. So because of that, there should be no problem of giving the Aliyah to Rav. And therefore, he read as a Kohen, because we see this, because Rav Huna, he read as a Kohen, even though he wasn't a Kohen. So probably Rav also read as a Kohen. So it has nothing to do with a fourth aliyah. Now, wait a minute. Rav Huna, I understand, he read as a Kohen. Because even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were known to be the most choshev Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, they were mikev kayef lul Rav Huna. They were like, had their heads bowed and be mekabel everything that Rav Huna said. But Rav, look, there's Shmuel. And Shmuel was a Kohen. And Rav used to tell Shmuel that he should go in first, and he was mechabin him. So then that means that even though Shmuel's not in the shul, but if in this area it's not absolutely clear that there's no Kohen that can compete with this Gadol B'Torah, and therefore will give the Kohen to the Gadol, then the other Kohanim will fight. They'll say, wait a minute, you can't take this away from the Kohanim. We've got somebody who's competitive with Rav and so on. So since we have Shmuel, they're all going to fight for the Kavod HaKohanim based on Shmuel, right? Okay, so that actually this is what Korach did. He fought for the Kavod because of Shmuel. Of course, that was his grandson Shmuel. But in any event, so It's no raya. No, says the Gemara, even though he was davar aleh, even though lemaisa, Rav used to be mechabit Shmuel to go first. That wasn't because really Shmuel was not kayef l'Rav. Shmuel really was kayef l'Rav. Shmuel nami mikaf avekayef l'Rav. The reason that Rav did this was the avad le'kavod, because you remember that there was that horrible story where Rav had problems, had stomach problems, and Shmuel was trying to cure him. We had this back in Shabbos. Shmuel was trying to cure him, and he gave him these awful things that were killing him, and he didn't allow him to go to the bathroom. And Rav says, I don't know who's driving me crazy, but whoever it is, his children should never survive. And that's what happened about to Shmuel. And because of that, Rav used to go out of his way to be kind to Shmuel and to be mechabed him. But it wasn't because Shmuel wasn't kayef l'Rav. He was. And Rav only did this in the presence of Shmuel. And therefore, it was no problem for Rav to read Bakuna. And by the way, I mean, I don't understand. How are you reading the story, for God's sake? It's clear that Rav was reading as the first Aliyah. Because if Rav was reading a later Aliyah, why did he make the bracha at the beginning? You're still going to have to explain. If only the first one makes the first bracha and the last one makes the last bracha, so then why does Rav make the first bracha over here and not the last bracha? Either way, you're going to be faced with a problem, right? So then, my time of Baruch. No, that was because it was after the takana that we made that every Aliyah makes his own bracha. Oh, for heaven's sake. So then if it's after the takana, then why the heck didn't he make a bracha afterwards? You're making me crazy over here. Everything that you're saying makes no sense. If it's le'achra takana, then he should have, in fact, le'achra nami tevarech. No, you know what? I'll tell you why. Because why do we make the bracha for everyone afterwards? Remember, the reason was because we're afraid that people are going to leave the Beit HaKnesset. But once Rav walks in, people are scared to walk out. That's all they need is for Rav to, who is that? Okay. So nobody's going to leave. They're all mechabed Rav. So if nobody is going to leave, so since by Rav, male aisle, they only will walk in late, nu, but mefik lo nafke. So therefore, we have to make the bracha before because someone may have come in late and he needs to hear that bracha. As we said, or either he's going to think there's not a bracha, but we certainly don't have to make a bracha afterwards because we don't have to be chayish for people who will walk out before the last person makes the bracha at the end of the laning. Nobody's going to walk out in front of Rav. So we don't have a raya. So we're still stuck. What is the din about a tainus? Toshma zaklal. Kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha la'am, kegon ta'anis tzibur v'tisha b'av. Korim shlosha. Says Beferish, if there's no bitul melacha, so then three people will read. Wow. I mean, sorry, if there is melacha, but if there ain't bo bitul melacha, like Rosh Chodesh v'chol ha'shamayim, then four. So that puts tisha b'av and Tainus Tzibur into the normal days, which aren't Bitul Melacha. Obviously, talk about over here, Malcolm, where you don't have the minhag not to do Avodah on Tisha B'Av, Melacha on Tisha B'Av. But in any event, if there is any kind of Bitul Melacha, like Rosh Chodesh, which is interesting because that isn't the criterion that we spoke about before. The criterion we spoke about was the Musaf. Now, this is a fascinating thing. How is there a Bitul Melacha? I understand Chol HaShomoed doesn't have a Bitul Melacha because even though you could do a Dover Oven and so on, but it's not like a full day's work. But on Rosh Chodeshim, people don't do work? Like, how is Rosh Chodeshim not a day of Bitul Melacha? So Rashi says, because women don't do work on Rosh Chodesh. And that was because they didn't take off their rings for the Bais HaEgel, and because, like we spoke, we were talking about in the Yonim of Purim, and because of that, it's directly Nogea Rosh Chodesh, if you recall how it's directly Nogea Rosh Chodesh, running out of time here. Okay, so because of that, they were given the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. However, that raises the question of, so what? I mean, they're not in shul, are they? That we can have a longer day. I mean, we're talking about the difference for the men that are in shul. So some are medayik from here. They're women or chayav in Kriyas HaTorah. And they have to come to shul. But there are other places where the minhag dafka is that the women walk out by kriyas hatorah. Like, maybe because they talk so much that they ended up throwing them out, so it became the minhag. I don't know. But in any event, there are many, many rishonim hutaina that there was a minhag for men not to work on Rosh Chodesh as well. And that as far as the question of the women are concerned, it's also the Gela Halacha, because is this a din or is it just a minhag? Because nowadays, you know, women that don't work, here it says that this, is this a chiev, or is it a right, or is it included in the overall concept of benos Yisrael hichmiru al atzmam, in which case it would be a chiev gomer, the same way that we're knowing the dinim of zivas finitas. I mean, it's not a small issue. So women are always makabel the hanhagas that were done by the earlier generations of women. Anyway, lemaisa, the way we come out is that there actually is a chiev on women not to do work, but only, the chiev is only not to do serious work. Work that involves a lot of tirchat, I mean, and on men too, those who say that it was usur in terms of harisha, zriya, not to use Rosh Chodesh for that kind of thing. But on the woman, it would be an absolute chiev, not a minhag, not to do that kind of work. And then there are different levels of an argument that women were noyag not to do even things that keep them busy, that they should be free from normal kitchen jobs and so on, Rosh Chodesh. That seems to be dependent in a minhag. That's sort of the balance of this issue. But in any event, it seems to be saying over here clearly, Shema Amina, that the halacha is that a tainis tzibur has a din of shloisha. Omer Ravashi, but that's weird, because in the Mishnah it says, Anan lo tananach, in the Mishnah it says, Zakla, ko yom sheyesh bo musaf ve'eno yomtev, korin arba'a. Now, is not a klal, Zaklal, tell me, does Zaklal come to add something, or is Zaklal just set for fun? I mean, wherever it says Zaklal, we always ask in the Gemara, okay, Zaklal atu yemai. So tell me, what is it coming to add when it says, Ko yom sheyesh bo musaf ve'eno yomtev? It only could mean a tainis tzibur and Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Let's assume that that's what it means. So then according to Rav Ashi, the Mishnah doesn't have any Tana that holds like that. Because I'll show you. Here's a machlok. It's written in the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. And it says like this. If the tainis, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Monday or on a Thursday, where you're going to be laning anyway. So then three people lane, and the last one of the laners is the maftir. And he becomes not an additional aliyah, but we add after b'shlishi u'b'revi. But if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, only one person lanes, and he's maftir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't matter what day. There's always three people that lane and one maftir. Nobody says four people lane, my friends. So how do you explain that? Okay, so what do you do about the fact that it says Zaklal? The Zaklal has got to be coming to tell me. Elakash is Zaklal? No, it's coming to tell me the idea of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. What? It says Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. Zaklal isn't adding anything. That's Behedya Katani Lo, but Rosh Chodesh and Moed Korin Arba'a. No, you don't understand. This is not a Zaklal that is coming each stage to add something. This is giving you a framework for understanding what's going on. So you have a simon over here that you can work out what is actually the structure of things. Start with three. Add some additional point. There's not a Siyas Malacha. Go to four. Add an additional point in the Mishnah, not a Siyas Malacha. The Mishnah was Musaf. Add an additional point of a Isser Malacha. It's Yontev. Go to five. Add an Isser Karas. Go to six. Add an Isser Skila. Go to seven. None of those things are adding. There's no other Isser Skilas that we're adding. The point over here is that the Mishnah is attempting to give you a klal as a perspective klal. That's the point. Lav la tuye, it's not coming to add anything. It's simona ba'alma yoyiv. Because this way you can get mixed up. Don't get mixed up. Lo teme yontem and chol hashomoed are basically the same thing. No, nekot haiklol lebiyadecha. Called it tofile milta b'chavre, tofile gavri yetera. Therefore, brosh chol hashomoed, you have a korban musaf? Arba. Yontem asur basiyas malacha? Chamesh. Yom HaKippurim Donish Kores? Shisha. Shabbat Yikir Seskila? Shiva. Perfect. Now, let me ask you the other thing about Rav. He says over the last thing, I mean, you just mentioned as a throwaway line, but I'd like to understand it. Rav ikla labovo betanis tzibur, kom kor besifra, patach borech, chosim v'lo borech. Everybody falls on their faces for takanun, and he doesn't. Lo nafal al ape. So explain why not. My timer, Rav lo nafal al ape. Oh, the reason was because the floor was a floor made out of stone. It was a ritzpah shel avanim. And since it says that when the pasuk refers to Evan Maskit, lo titznu ba'artzechem lishtav chavot aleha, aleha I ata mishtachaveh ba'artzechem, aval avata mishtachaveh lavonim shel beit hamikdash. So you see that the inyan of the floor is nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It has to do with the very fact that it's a stone floor means you're not allowed to bow down on it. Kedi Ula. The Omer Ula lo asur. Teren lo ritzpah shel avanim bilvad. So the Pashtus, according to the Rambam and many Rishonim, is Evan Maskit just means a smooth stone. The Chinuch learns that an Evan Maskit is a decorated stone, and it's the decorations that do have to do with Avodah Zarah in a sense, because it looks like you're bowing down to something. Anyway, the Pashtus of the Sugya is entirely like the Rambam over here. So because of that, he held it was usher, and he did not bow down for Takanun. So then I don't understand. So it has nothing to do with Rav. He should have sat up there and say, nobody fall on your faces. It's us or it's a Ritzpat Avanim. What does it have to do with Rav? Afilu Kulanami? No, the stone floor was the Choshev floor was only in front of Rav. Everybody else had some lousy Persian carpet. So why didn't Rav move over to the Persian carpet? He didn't have to go in his own area. Couldn't he be lazy? He didn't want to move, because if he would have moved, everybody would have had to stand up. It would have been, so he better just bitsnias. He just stayed where he was. Or the difference may be like this. Rav, when he said tachanun, he was mishtachavem mamish, but pishut yadayim v'raglayim aviyavet. He laid flat on his face. And that's where there's an isra of Evan Maskit. Kidiula. The Omar Ula lo asrat Torah ela pishut yadayim v'raglayim bilvad, and Rav was the only one who was doing that. Okay, so then just be noifel al apayim and don't do pishut yadayim v'raglayim. He didn't want to be mishanim miminage. That's the way that he felt. He relates to tachanun. Or there could be another issue. The reason that he didn't fall on his face had nothing to do with the floor. It wasn't made out of stone. Maybe the point is like this. As we learned, Adam Choshev Shaini, Kid Rebbe Lazar, Adam Rebbe Lazar, Ein Adam Choshev Rashoi Lipol Al Panav Elim Kein Na'anak Yoshua Ben Nun. Only a person who is 100% positive that his tefillah will be na'ana is allowed to be Nofel Al Panav in public. Dichtiv Ayomer Hashem Al Yoshua Kum Lach Lama Zat Anofel Al Panecha. Tonen Rabbanan, Kida, whenever we find that word Kida, like Vatikod Bat Sheva, it's always al apayim. What it means is you don't move your legs, your knees, only your face. That's pretty hard to do. So you got to bend over at the waist, get your face down to the ground. And as it says, as you know, if God had meant me to be able to touch my toes, he would have put them in the middle of my legs, not at the bottom of my feet. However, this is a tough thing to do. So because of that, it's not done that often, as we'll see, but it's done on your face. Kriya means you get down on your knees, because it says, Mikroa al birkav. So there, Shlomo HaMelech was Korea al birkav. Hishtachava refers to Mamish Pishut Yadayim V'raglayim, like Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef with his dreams. What are you talking about? Avo navo anivim chava checha lihishtachavot lecha arza, straight on the ground. And in fact, Levi once did a little demonstration, remember, in front of Rebbe to show Kida, and he got his mouth down on the ground, kissed the ground, put himself up without bending at the knees. Uh-oh, there went his back out, and he was always lame from that point on. So it's not such an easy thing to do. The Itla, says the Gemara, wait a minute, that's not why he was Itla. I thought we knew that he did something wrong. That's why he's Itla. Remember, Rebbe Lazar said, a person should be very careful not to throw things in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's face, Kavayochel. Sha'arei Adam Gadol Itiach Dvorim Klape Mala, the Itla. Umanu Levi. Levi once said, when there was no answering, that was, we had this Gemara in Tainus, there was no rain, none of his ta'anesim and tefillas worked. And Levi gets up and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you've gone up to the Rakia, you've given up on your children, you don't care anymore. And that's why he got lame. Says the Gemara, Hava HaGarmalei, it's because he said that this particular thing happened to him, otherwise it wouldn't have happened to him. And in fact, Omer Chia Bar Avin, there's a solution. Chazino Lelabayev Rava, that they would lean on their sides, Atzule Atzluye, when they said Tachanun, that they didn't put their faces to the ground. And therefore, there was no problem. Now, therefore, there was no problem what? No problem, according to Rashi, the question of Adam Gadol, or the question of Evan Maskit. And if you're on your ground, on your side, there's no problem of Evan Maskit.